Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. And thank you for subscribing to the latest edition of the 12 Kyle podcast. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. Man, on this episode, what I'm going to talk about is divorce. More specifically, the regrets that some men have when after going through a divorce. I came across this article that I was reading the other day, and the headline grabbed me, not because I've gone through a divorce. Well, actually, I did. My parents got divorced, so that was my experience through divorce. But, full transparency, I've also had close friends to go through divorce. So, you know, it was something that caught my attention. And in it catching my attention, it also made me think about who I wanted to bring on to talk about it, because I didn't want to tackle this subject alone. I have on with this episode a friend of the show, a fellow podcaster. He's a pre-engagement coach from the podcast Scary to Remarry, my man Sean Heineman. Sean, what's good, brother?
What's happening, 12 Kyle?
Man, glad to have you on, brother. Glad to have you on.
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
And no doubt. Now, Sean is like I said, he's a pre-engagement coach. Sean himself has been divorced, and he's now currently married. What, 6-7 years for y'all now?
Almost. It'll be 7 years. Yep.
It'll okay.
Be 7 years this year.
Wow. Yeah. Yes. That's what's up. And so Sean is. I can't say somewhat. He is an expert in this field, and listening to his podcast, which we're going to talk about a little later. You will see that he knows what he's talking about. He speaks from experience. And, you know, one of the things I've always enjoyed listening and hear him talk is his full transparency about, you know, what happened, not just with his marriage, his previous marriage, but also, you know, what he does now and how he and his wife make their marriage work now. And myself, you know, someone being married at the time of this recording, 23 years, I could definitely appreciate some of the things and some of the places where Sean is coming from. So Sean, before we even get started, man, what made you get into because I even noticed on the website, like, people can schedule sessions with you. They can put it on the calendar, and you are, you know, willing to help people and coach people. What made you get into that realm?
Man, I love marriage, man. I love black love. I love seeing healthy relationships. I love seeing healthy people, right? Like, healthy people help create healthy, you know, a healthy world. So it's just about the heart for people, man. Seeing someone like actually love somebody and the sacrifices that people are willing to make. And it isn't always unicorns and rainbows. You know, you said 23 years for you. I know you got some more.
23. Man, listen. A bunch of them. Yeah, a man. Bunch of them.
So I just have a heart for people. I love seeing healthy relationships, healthy marriages. Shout out to the single parents, no shade or anything like that. Yes. But just to see the things that single parents go through. Like, now my wife is at a women's Bible study, and I was with the boys today, and I'm just like, I couldn't do this every day. Somebody need to help me with these kids. So single parenting, I love my single parents. Shout out to them, because I know it's got to be tough, but it's better when there's two in the household, you know. So
yes, no doubt. Like I said, man, I came across this article and I thought, and you know, you'd have me on your podcast, and I had a couple of ideas as far as what I wanted us to get on here and talk about. But when I saw that particular article, I was like, yo, I got to get Sean on here so we can talk about it. So let's start right there, man. One of the things, and what I'm going to do is just kind of go back and forth about some of the things that this article contained, and also some testimony from men who have these regrets about what they experienced in their marriage. The first topic is forgetting to listen. And I'm going to read you a quote. It said, quote, "I wish I had prioritized listening to my spouse early and deeply and more empathetically in our marriage. It gnaws at me because now I realize the power of truly hearing and understanding one's partner. In the early years of our marriage, I often found myself caught up in my own thoughts and concerns And unintentionally, I was neglecting her and losing the importance of being an active listener. Close quote. What do you have to say about that? Sometimes when the guy forgets to listen.
Oh, active listener.
Yes.
That's what we need. Active listening. I love that. Great point. I think sometimes as men, we're thinking about so many things. I know the burden that wives carry, but husbands as well. Like we got to get it. We got to make sure that we get the bag. We got to make sure that we protect all these different things. And we have a bunch of stuff going on in our head too, whether if that's through past childhood trauma and even dealing with our own personal issues and just hearing those different voices of doubt or frustration, irritation. So sometimes she can be talking, but she kind of sounds like Charlie Brown teacher. You know, and we mean well. It's just that, you know, I the piece of advice I give to wives is whatever you need to say, like, say it in the first sentence or two. Make sure you get it in.
And why is that, Sean?
Because men will get to drifting, man.
Through one ear and out the other.
Yeah. You know, so that's one of the things you got to say what you got to say and say it with a little honey on it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always have to be harsh. Now, I understand that there's times and seasons where it's World War III.
Right.
But for the majority of the time, say what you got to say. Put a little honey on it. And that way he can hear you, because you get those first two sentences out the way. He's like, oh, OK. But mm-hmm. if you start rambling like you're talking to him, like you're talking to your girlfriend, he's gone.
Mm-hmm. But it's also important, and I agree with you 1,000%, but I think it's also important that, you know, we still take that time to tap in, to listen, because, you know, sometimes it's and this is just something I've learned in my experience just through life and through marriages, like sometimes it's not even really the actual thing that's bothering her, or something that you did, or something that you said that's bothering her. It's two or three other things. And so if you listen well enough and long enough, you'll catch those two or three other things. But now if you start snapping or pushing back at the first thing, then you might miss the two or three down the road. So active listening is very important. It's something, I'll be honest, that I've worked hard on and I'm still working, because it's all a work in it. Sean, you know, it's a work in progress.
Welcome to the club, Kai.
It is a WIP, work in progress, people. So
yes, it is. Can I say one more thing about that real quick?
Go ahead.
One more thing I wanted to say about that is also putting the phone down.
Mm.
There's so many people that I see, I'm talking about couples, even in coaching sessions when I'm talking to people, she got her phone in her hand, and even just having the phone in your hand, I think it's disrespectful when you're scrolling and you're talking to them. Even having the phone in your hand, it separates your attention.
Because
mm-hmm. you're looking at the phone, but then you're looking at her too, you know, and she's talking to you. It's like, put the phone down.
Yeah.
And let's talk. And I think I've told you before, I don't even sleep with my phone in the room anymore.
Really?
Yeah. I got an old school analog clock in my bedroom. To people that's maybe 35 and younger, maybe 30.
Right.
Google analog clock. That's what I have. Yeah.
Google that.
Yeah. So when my wife and I, when we go to bed, it's her. Mm-hmm. Nah, it's not the phone. It's not the distraction. Now, sometimes when I'm in the bed, I get tired. I'm like, help me, Lord. But for the most part, my phone is in the other room and I'm talking to her.
Okay. Well, I can't do that because I got kids in college, but I feel you on that.
Yeah, I hear you.
But I'm like you, though, man. I think even over a period of time, it's just like it got to the point where you got to remember this person is having a conversation with you. So they're seeking your undivided attention. So there's nothing on the phone that you're going to miss. Put it down. Give her that 30 minutes. Give her that hour, if you will, you know, to discuss it. Because, you know, it's you got to have that time where you're bouncing stuff off each other or just listening. So, but active listening is very important. Number two, the topic was not being as supportive as I could have been. And this guy says, quote, the biggest regret that I have in my marriage was not paying closer attention to her and supporting my wife as she changed careers. Something just popped up on my screen. I wish I had done a better job of comprehending her struggles and encouraging her more. I can now see clearly how my lack of support affected her self-confidence and happiness, and it eats at me. I wasn't fully aware of the emotional toll it took at the time on her because I was so focused on my own job. I regret not being more proactive at reassuring her and expressing interest in her goals. Close quote. What say you, Sean?
Ooh, that's good. That's another one. You got to pay attention, because a lot of times your wife come home, she's talking to you, she's telling you about her day. So eventually you should be able to pick up on some of those things. And even some of her coworkers, maybe she's talking about her coworker all the time. And you, Lisa did what today? You know, just little stuff like that. Just to remember, because even with my wife, she's a nurse. So there's just some verbiage that I pick up on. And I'm like, you have this today? You got an SAI or you got these different things? And I'm just, because I'm used to hearing it.
Right.
And so it makes her feel heard, but you got to be supportive. It's a two-way street. Just like she asks you, how was your day and stuff like that? Because I'm sure she probably can tell you all about your job as much as we can complain.
Facts.
You know, and we got to take that time too to be intentional about knowing about her dreams and aspirations. Because, you know, people change over time. Careers, stuff change, and you got to be willing to be in the turn with them. Because if not, you know, I remember T.D. Jake saying on the motorcycle, if you make too fast of a turn, one person, you know, the back person is going to fall off.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to make sure that you stay in tune with them, because if not, man, they'll be a totally different person. And now all of a sudden, y'all sleeping in different beds.
1,000%. I think that it's interesting, because as I read that, I thought about, you know, conversations that I had with my parents, you know, because my parents got divorced when I was 13, right? So, you know, so much of that stuff you don't understand as a child. But as you get older, like, all of the stuff really kind of makes sense. And while neither of them had like career changes like that before they got divorced, but, you know, you could see the points where there was a lack of support. Like, I remember my mom talking about going back to school and becoming a nurse, you know, just like your wife. And I'm not gonna say it wasn't supportive, but it wasn't like, you know, I don't think he had like 1,000% behind, like, yeah, baby, go ahead and go back to school. I got your back, whatever, whatever. You know, it's like, you know, like right now, my wife she's getting her doctoral degree, and she's in a doctoral program. And, you know, so it's, I was telling one of my homeboys, like I said, it's like, I got to go get a triple double. You know what I'm saying? In the house, I got, you know, it's a basketball term. I got to get a triple double. That means, you know, the stuff that I may not do as much, I got to do even more now. So that might mean, you know, cooking more. That might mean cleaning more. That might mean, you know, doing more errands and stuff, because you're working and you're going to school and your mom and you're in activities and your wife. It's a lot. You know what I mean? So it's like, you got to step up and pick up some of the slack, you know, and it's not about, you know, whether or not you want to or not, you just have to, because that's a part of support. And so, you know, just having those conversations with them, and even I mentioned earlier, having a conversation with some friends, male and female, who've gone through divorces. So the word support has come up, or the lack thereof has come up quite a bit. With you, I know you mentioned, you know, that, you know, some mistakes, and you, like I said, you've been very open and honest about, you know, your first marriage. Was support or lack thereof something? Because I know at one point in time, I know you spoke of very highly of like where your brand was, you know, at, I guess, I don't want to say at the height of your first marriage, but, yeah, you know, during that first marriage, and you had to basically kind of start over once that, you know, ended.
Yeah. And I always say this, and I'm sure you know, I would never ever talk bad about my ex-wife.
I've never heard you say a bad word about her.
Yeah, you know, I always tell people I married her, right? So if I'm talking bad about her, what does that say about me?
Exactly.
So yes, there was times I wasn't supportive, just being in my own world, dealing with my own issues, and just being selfish.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just me being caught up in my world where, she'll tell me something. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, I'm there for a second, but then I go back to what I was doing, opposed to like really being like locked in.
Right.
Asking the extra questions, like, how can I support you? Different stuff like that, which I wasn't doing. I just felt like, because I was working, paying bills and helping out around the house, I'm like, I just thought that was good enough.
Right.
But you need that emotional support too. And it can be challenging, especially when you're doing a career change or shoot, even just starting a new job, let alone the whole career, just, you know, learning the ins and outs, because that can be stressful too. And if you're not supportive, they can feel alone in that as well.
Yeah, that is so true, man. It's and people really don't, I think, tap into that, because like you said, you don't have to be starting a new career, just a new job, just the level of stress that weighs on you in doing all of that. And if you're stressed at work, and I say this all the time, man, if you're stressed at work, the last place you want to be stressed out is at home. You know, I mean, not to say that you can't, that you won't have stress at home, because we all have certain stresses, but it's how you deal with it, how you carry it. And then, you know, some of that stress and stuff, I mean, really, we're supposed to kind of lighten the stress load for our partners. So that's a very key thing. And I see where, you know, in some instances where that became part of the problem, you know, and then, you know, you're in a relationship, you're in this marriage, now your friendship is falling apart, now your marriage is falling apart, and you're saying, well, how did we get here? Well, you know, it was a couple of things. And sometimes it's, you know, that level of stress that falls on you. Number three, I know you mentioned kids earlier, so this will hit home. Not taking enough time for our relationship when the kids were little. This says, quote, when we had our first child, I wish I had taken the time to really learn how to be a better parent. Even though we both had experience of parenting from our own families, there were so many new things we had to learn, and it was hard for me to figure it out on my own. I regret not taking more classes or talking to other parents who had been through similar situations. These would have helped me provide for my family and been a more supportive partner. Close quote. What do you say about that?
Oh, kids, man. Kids is that's a different monster. I know your kids are in college, and I you still have, what, two at home?
Yeah, still got two at home, but a high school junior and a middle, a seventh grader, middle school. So,
okay, yeah.
So we're still trying to get them out of the house.
Yeah, I get it, man. My dynamic, of course, is different. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got four kids total. One of them is out the house. You know, my daughter is 20. She'll be 21 this year. But we have three young ones here. So we have a 9-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 4-year-old.
Plenty of energy.
Man, and two of them have autism.
Mm-hmm.
So going through that process, man, if my wife and I, if we're not locked in, man, that can cause chaos. That can cause the communication breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that can cause no sex. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody tired and the kids want stuff.
Right,
you know
right.
What I'm saying? So the kids, man, they play an integral part. And a lot of times, depending on how we were raised in our childhood, if we didn't have that father, you know, or that motherly kind of love, we kind of want that from our spouse to give to our kids.
Facts.
Like, make sure that you know, because I had daddy issues, so you make sure, or my mama never hugged me, so you pressuring your wife to make sure you hug the boy. You know what I'm saying? That trauma gets caught up in the relationship, man, and that can be challenging and overbearing at times. So I think it's important that, especially going into a relationship, like, what are your parenting? How do you parent?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I think that's important, especially if you got blended families. Is your baby daddy crazy? You know what I'm saying? Is your baby mama crazy? Because I don't want to have to shoot nobody.
Right.
You know, those are important things to ask.
It is.
Going into a second marriage, right? You need to know these things, because if not, man, that can wreak havoc on a marriage for real.
Mm. So something I want to go back to that you just said, you know, with the boys having autism, what did that do for you guys? Because I would imagine, you tell me if I'm wrong, I would imagine that their diagnosis and the process that and it doesn't mean anything wrong with them, because and they are some handsome little fellas too.
Yeah.
I would imagine that would have brought you guys even closer than you already were, right?
Yeah, man, but there was a lot of like frustration too, man.
Okay.
A lot of frustration because you know, you wonder, and again, autism is not a death sentence, right?
No.
It's just one of those things where you just like, oh, I didn't know he had this, or I didn't catch it sooner. You kind of have this regret kind of thing going. But it does heighten your communication because there's a lot of doctor's visits, you know, a lot of classes, mm-hmm. and you got to be locked in because if not, again, you got to have those same parenting styles. Like y'all got to be on the same page about parenting because parenting a child with autism is a different level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I see a kid screaming in a store, I can recognize that now. Like, oh, he might not just be bad. He just might be overstimulated.
Right.
You know, so you got to be locked in as parents, man, because kids, you know, they can be challenging, especially the young ones.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Before I go to the next one, I want to actually, you made me think about something. I want to pivot real quick. Your website and your Twitter handle, Scary to Remarry. Was it really, really scary for Sean to remarry?
Yeah, and why
was it,
man? And this is a good question because people ask me this a lot. That why scary to remarry? I'm like, well, you know, I love black people and their rhymes. So like, you know, it's easy to remember, right?
Right.
I'm being funny, but there was a time, and I'll never forget when my ex-wife and I were separated, and I was thinking to myself, oh, I might want to do this again, but at the same time, I'm just like, do I really have what it takes?
Mm.
Like, do I really want to do this again? You know, some people stay married because they're like, nah, I'd rather just stay with right. the evil that I know. I know he trash, but I'd rather be with him than walk on that wild side.
Right.
So, yeah, it's going to be scary because you're getting to know somebody all over again. I mean, my ex-wife and I was married almost 15 years.
Mm.
And to go from 15 years to starting all over again sometime, man. And I was 40. So it was, you know, seemed like time has slipped away from me. You know, I always make a joke, but it's a true story. Mm-hmm. My wife bought me a brand new wardrobe because she was like,
you was the old man.
Yeah. You know, she funny side joke. And I'm pretty sure she probably told this on the video. Mm-hmm. She said when she seen me, I got off the plane and she like told her girlfriend, oh my God, I done got a pawpaw.
An old player.
Old player. And I was clean. She was like, mm-mm. That's like maybe 7-10 years ago, maybe.
She had to get you right.
I had to get bought a whole new wardrobe. She's like, look, we gotta do something different. So yeah. So even changing my mindset to realize, mm-hmm. oh, I am getting a little older. Time is, it's kind of like the video from the movie, I Got,
I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man.
And you know what, man? Your story, I'll be honest, dog. I never get tired of hearing it. I always see the tweets. And sometimes I don't respond to the tweets, but what'll happen is you'll put out a tweet as far as like your story, and then I'll go and look and see the responses because it's always amazing. I'm always amazed. If you can tell the people, again, I'm like I said, I'm familiar with your story, but tell the people how you met your wife and how, you know, y'all connected, because it wasn't conventional. It wasn't, you didn't meet her at the club. You didn't meet her at the bar. You actually connected online.
Yeah, man. No dating sites. I met her on Instagram. We were already connected. But it was one of those things where they had people like familiar, like people who follow you, they follow mm-hmm. them, you know, that whole thing. Mm-hmm. So I was following like a life coach or whatever, and she's following them too. So I was like, okay. So eventually I seen her picture one day and I slid in her DM. I was like, well, I seen one of her pictures. I liked it. I was like, oh, let me check her out a little more. Let me see, you know. We look at a couple more pictures. Oh, she fine. Now, I might get canceled for this, but I'm going to say this on your show.
Say it.
Okay. One thing, and I think I tweeted about this. One thing I loved about her was, Kyle, she was fully clothed in all her pictures.
No, they ain't gonna get you canceled.
Okay. They know, because you know, women be like, "You can't police my body," and you know, they
no, that, but that's a good thing. Right. That's a good thing.
And I will say that, man, because I was like, oh, I was scrolling, and I was like, okay, she cute, she classy, she, you know, she with her son or whatever. Okay. I was waiting for like the booty picture on the sink. I was waiting for that picture. I was just like, okay, I know it's coming.
Right.
I didn't see it. And I was like, okay, this is what I'm talking about. Okay. And then I slid in the DM. We went from there, man. And, you know, we married 6 months. Actually, we married in like 60, 90 days, 3 months, actually.
Wow.
And, we got engaged in 3 months and married 6 months. And then the next 6 months, then I relocated.
Okay. Yeah. Cause you were in Cleveland at the time, right?
I was in Arizona, actually.
Arizona. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I was in Arizona. And like I said, I slid in a DM. We started talking. I proposed to her over Skype because I wouldn't see her for like a month.
Wow.
So I was, you know, a little corny with it because we used to always talk on Skype. We talk on Skype every day, and I guess I'm dating myself. And we would talk, man, and we would have, you know, little Bible studies. We read books together. We were just locked in, man. And I always tell single people this too. The thing that we both wanted was marriage. I wanted to remarry. She wanted to marry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people get in these relationships, they're like, I didn't say I'd ever want to get married. And now you done right. 5 years with them and you mad.
So. Right. Well, it sounds to me like, you know, more than anything else, you both were very intentional about your intentions. So, you know, I think that goes a long way. And I think, you know, something I've heard you talk about is, you know, especially when you're dating, you know, people don't put it all on the table. You know, they just, sometimes people are afraid. Sometimes people just don't want to show or, you know, expose themselves. And that's one of the things, like I said, when I was on your podcast and we've talked about it before, like I said, I really appreciate your transparency, because even in what you just said, I mean, it takes guts to slide into those DMs like that. And then two, because she could have played you. She'd be like, yeah, who are you? I don't know you like that. Yeah. And, you know, but I'm sure she went through and scrolled through your pictures too, looking to see if, you know, see how you were living and everything like that. And then, you know, getting to the point where, you know, you guys wanted the same thing. And then, like you said, relocate. She could have been crazy. You don't know that.
Man, listen. Look, Kyle, the first time I went to Texas, Texas, man, I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to Texas, but
yeah,
the stuff that you see on TV is there, right? It's real.
Yes.
Big old fields with the cows and no street lights for miles on end. And I remember going to her house because she picked me up later in that evening. And we were headed to the hotel. And I was like, where are we going? Because it's like this dark street, no lights.
What part of Texas was this?
We were in Houston.
Okay.
But even still, there's still parts. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. Houston. Wow. I come to Houston a lot for work, and yeah, it's you can be on the other opposite ends of Houston and they look totally different. The north side and the south side, two different sides.
two totally different sides. So I was just like, oh my God, what's going on over here?
Right.
But anyway. Yeah.
No doubt. Like I said, man, love hearing that story. Topic number four that they talked about in this particular article, the heading said, siding with my mom over my wife. Quote, I've been a mama's boy for most of my life. My mother is wonderful and was so helpful when I needed help with the kids and we were just getting started as parents. The problem was I never made a concerted effort to show my wife that I was loyal to her when disagreements occurred between her and my mom. I didn't stick up for her in a meaningful way, and it caused both insecurity and resentment. It became a big mess where I felt like I had to pick a side, but I never could. I realized too late that my wife's side is the side I chose to be on, and I need to honor that commitment for better or for worse. Once we were able to acknowledge that through conversations and therapy, everyone's relationships seem to improve. It makes me wish I'd realized it and did it sooner than later. Close quote. What say you about that?
Ooh, the in-laws.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, one thing. People forget that you don't marry just that person. You marry their family.
Family.
You marry everybody. You marry the drunk uncle, the crackhead cousin. You marry, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. anyway, with that, it's, I'm not going to say I blame the mom, but mom should have enough wisdom. The baby, that's your wife. You be with her.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because to me, I could be wrong. It sounds like mama's single.
Probably. Yeah. And don't want to let go of her baby boy. And he said he was a mama's boy. So
yep.
Come on, man. You already know the vibes with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, to that wife, she's going to lose. But at the same time, and this is when the Bible talks about two becoming one, right? Man should leave his father and his mother. People rarely can sever that connection. Mom and dad is going to be mom and dad. Love them. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you're married. You know, I always tell married people, who you sleeping with at night?
But that's mom. That's Mom Dukes. That's my, she raised me. She raised me from, you know, a baby. That's my mama. I only get one mama. I'm telling you what they say. I ain't telling you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. No, I hear you. No, yeah, that's what they say, right? They're my mama. Nah, dog. And to the ladies, you know, you got to be careful with the mama's boy. I mean, I get it. But you got to know that divide. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't want to marry water boy.
No, you know, no, no.
So, not at all. Yeah, you got to make sure you on top of that. Like, yeah, I love your mama, but know that I come before your mama now that we're married. Not your girlfriend, but your wife.
Right, right. And you know what, Sean, I'll be honest. That was something I had to realize quickly too, that, you know, and I say this all the time, like I still think, even what he alluded to in this particular article, I think it's a guy's job to connect those two people. Mm-hmm. He has to be the bridge in whatever way he can be. Now, if she's your girlfriend and your mama call her a trifling heifer, she probably not gonna come up off that. So when you get engaged to her, she, oh, you getting engaged to that trifling heifer, you know, that ain't gonna change. So you gotta, as a guy, you still gotta kind of find, you have to find a common ground, and you gotta let both of them know, like, look, mama, I love her. This is who I'm marrying. You my mama, you always gonna be my mama no matter what. I'm gonna love you, but this is my wife. I need you to treat her as such. And vice versa, you gotta tell her, like, look, hey, this is my mama. I only got one mama. You know, so the guy has to be the bridge too. And I think it sounded to me like he, without full context, it sounded to me like he kind of punked out a little bit.
Yeah, 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 he, yeah. I agree.
Yeah, so, and the thing I think it goes without saying too, also, when it comes to in-laws, is, you know, be careful what you tell them about your marriage or your spouse, because when you forgive, that don't mean the in-laws gonna forgive. So,
man,
if your man went upside your head and you said, and you forgave him, her brothers ain't, her yep. daddy ain't.
she making your plate on Thanksgiving, and then, oh, so he went upside your head and you making his plate, huh?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's a great point, man. Great point.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and I mean, if he, you know, get caught out there and you forgive him, that don't mean mama gonna forgive him.
I know, right?
Auntie.
I want to say this real quick, because I'm...
Go ahead. We got time.
I'm working on a video about in-laws, about how to win your in-laws.
Oh, I got to see that.
I guess I'm, you know, going to break the news on your show. So you're supposed to do the pew, pew, pew.
Okay.
Pew, pew, pew. No, but anyway...
I ain't upgraded the sound effects just yet, man. It's coming. Budget got to get a little higher.
No, I'm tripping. Just never give them a reason not to talk about you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, are we human? I get it. But doing outlandish stuff and, like, just be low-key. Like, my wife and I, we going on 7 years, man. my mm-hmm. in-laws love me, and it's six of them. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Right. Man, I be low key. When my wife do something and she complaining to them, they like, what you do wrong? Mm-hmm. They talking about what she did.
Right.
Not that I'm perfect, but it's like, I understand the weight that we carry as men. I'm like, nah, I ain't about to put myself out there. I ain't, nobody's biased.
I agree. And I think what's key, and I say the same thing about my in-laws. I love them to life and they love me. And we have a really good relationship. And my wife too on my side. My parents love her. And, you know, but we've been through the years and everything like that. But I think the thing that we've tried to do is just make sure that even if there's something wrong with us, we don't bring that to them. You know what I'm saying? Yes. And vice versa. You know, because, you know, if your mom is mad at your dad, she's probably going to talk to you about it, but you don't need to necessarily be bringing that into your marriage. So you have to, even in the growth of the marriage and the friendship that you have to have some boundaries, because some stuff, what goes on in Sean's house needs to stay in Sean's house. You know, even, you know, sometimes you can't tell mama, sometimes you can't tell brother, sometimes you can't tell sister. So, and you got to figure out who you can tell and who you can't tell.
And that's why and that's why you have a paid friend. They call it therapist.
Facts. Point number five, it said forgetting to care for myself, excuse me. Quote, I got fat, plain and simple. When the first kid was born, I stopped exercising because I convinced myself I didn't have enough time. Then I started eating more fast food because it was easier. And I also didn't have enough time to cook. Within the first year, I think I put on 44 pounds. I was having trouble breathing and getting around. I was irritable. I couldn't concentrate. And I never stopped to think that the change that I was doing and that I was taking taking care of myself was a horrible job that I was performing. I just chalked it up as, well, I'm a dad now. Guess this is how it goes. It took me almost a year and a half to get back into shape. And I always regret the way that I handle myself with such laziness. It makes me less effective as a father and as a husband and could have really wrecked our marriage. Close quote. What do you say about that? Taking care of yourself.
Man, that's interesting, because usually I would have thought that sound more of like on the wife's side. Mm. I would have imagined, mm-hmm. you know, and the thing about women is they love you, right? Women, you married to, they love you. Some women can get over your belly, mm-hmm. you know, some, you know, yeah. Not all, but man, for him to stop, that's tough. I think as men, man, I think we get the signs. You know, you get a little older, high blood pressure, you're out of breath. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be primal, right? Let's talk about the bedroom. I mean, you might have erectile dysfunction.
Yeah.
You know, so it's stuff like that should make you think like, I need to walk more often.
Mm-hmm. Go to the gym. Do some sit-ups, do something.
Do something.
You got to get this ticker moving, man. I say that all the time. Like, you know, it's and it don't take much. But the thing is, like he referred to in the article, is that, you know, you can easily convince yourself that, oh, man, I ain't got time to work out. Man, you got time. If you got time to sit and watch SportsCenter, you got time. I remember one time my homeboy said, hey, man, just do 10 push-ups every time a commercial comes on. When you're watching your favorite program, do 10 push-ups. If you do 10 push-ups during every commercial, by the time you finish watching a game, you would have done 100 push-ups. You know, so it's like, you got time for it. And who don't have time to do push-ups during the commercial? You ain't doing nothing else. You're sitting there eating and you're drinking. That's all you're doing. So it's like, you know, you have to be mindful of that stuff. And I think, you know, You touched on like women. You think women, because women, you know, eventually get pregnant. Well, some do get pregnant, and then, you know, there's a weight gain, and a lot of them work really hard to shed that baby weight, and then some don't. And I mean, like, and it's tough because as a guy, you don't understand what it's like to be carrying around a full human being inside your body, you know. And you gain 30 pounds and, you know, you get an extra chin, or your breasts get bigger, your butt gets bigger, your hips get bigger. And, you know, I heard this said somewhere, Sean, I can't remember who said it, They said a woman is always having to compare herself with her old body. And that hit home. And I was like, wow, I didn't really think about it like that. Cause like, you know, if you 40, you're not looking at your body saying, man, I wish I was 25 again. I wish I had my body. Cause you know that your body ain't gonna look like how I did at 25.
Nope.
But nope. At the same time, you also understand like, look, okay. Like you said, if you walking around and you out of breath, bro, you need to do something.
and I would like to say too, I think these things are very important questions even going into marriage. Like, how do you feel about health?
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? Because if you don't care about health, you can't be mad at her because she's eating, you know, ice cream cookies, you know, at 10 o'clock at night. Well, y'all should have that conversation, you know, before it happened. And health, man, it's so easy to get distracted. But I think as long as in your head, constantly reminding yourself, I need to do this. I need to, you know, walking around the block, like you said, don't take much. Commercial breaks, do 20 squats. You know what I'm saying? Just stuff. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be Billy Blanks. You could, you know, do some simple things. You know what I'm saying? It's all about the effort, man.
Man, you took me back just now with Billy Blanks.
He was the first person that I thought of. I don't know why I thought Billy Blanks.
Like, that's what he was doing. I love it. I love it, bro. I love it. Yeah, man, I agree 1,000%. This next one says, not appreciating what I have. That's the headline. Quote, jealousy has always been my biggest flaw. Even when I was younger, I would always compare myself with my friends. They always had better toys than me. Their parents had more money than mine. They had better lives in my eyes. Fast forward to being a husband and a father, I still succumb to jealousy on a regular basis. I still do sometimes. But until I started going to therapy to deal with it, I was constantly comparing my family, my house, my job, and about everything else to my family. I mean, my friends, excuse me. It made me feel really, really unhappy most of the time, and it wasn't fair to my wife or my son at all. I should have been focused on the miracles that were happening in my own life instead of always holding them up to measure against the lives of other people. Close quote. What do you think about that, man?
You never know what you have until you expand your horizon.
Preach.
You know, when you're in your neighborhood, everybody got this pretty much same stuff, you know, same three bedroom house. But then you go outside your city and you see your friend who got a 7-bedroom mansion. You like, oh, I want one, right? So I think it's important, man, that you got to realize like what you have and be grateful. One thing that helped me out a lot, especially in this Instagram age that we live in, right? You know, little kids got anxiety because they scrolling and they just like, oh my God, you know. One thing that helped me was knowing that whatever they got, I don't know if I want to do what they did to get it.
Facts.
Yeah. My coworker, he might have a 6-pack. I might want to look like him, but am I willing to stop eating what I like? You know, so people, man, and easier said than done. I get it. We all can be, I get it. But behind that, just because they got a Maserati, I don't want that Maserati car note.
No, not at all. And like you said, you don't know what they did to get it. They could have schemed to get it. They could have stole to get it. They could have tricked off their bodies to get it.
Yep.
You never know.
And they got to live with it.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. Point number 7, spending too much money at the start. So you knew we were going to have to talk about money. And this one says, quote, when we first got married, my wife and I bought too much stuff. Stuff like nice dishes, nice wine glasses that we never used, or hung art on the wall that we never looked at. We both made decent money, but it pains me to think back on how much of it we spent on the useless, needless, and pointless stuff that we accumulated that we could have either spent saving it or spending on trips or vacation or experiences. We were young and we wanted to be the classic married couple we'd always seen on TV. We wanted the nice things, and we got them. And then after years and years of having them, we kind of realized that they were pointless, and then trying to get rid of them by selling them made me regret it even more. What a waste. Close quote. What do you think about that, man? Spending too much money, especially at the start of a marriage.
Ooh, trying to impress them.
You got to keep it up with the Joneses.
Yep. And the Joneses broke. So, you know, Yeah, and don't get me wrong, because my wife and I, when we first got together, we was turned up, we were kicking it, but had to start paying them bills too. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, oh my God, are you serious? We was kicking it for real. You know, so it's easy to just blow money and really not even deal with like your inner person. Mm-hmm. Because these issues are going to surface, right? But as long as you're just constantly spending money and doing stuff, and you can always kind of hide behind you. Mm-hmm. And then when the money run out, now you got to deal with you. Now the real you is here because y'all broke.
Right.
Things come to surface when you're broke.
It really does. I think one of the things that I love about us is that we started off, because we met in college, we started off as broke college kids. So we knew the bottom. We were the epitome of starting from the bottom, now we're here. So, you know, it's like, when we look back in those times, and I remember we had a conversation. We was like, hey, man, I can't wait till we get to be grown and we move it and we can go to the grocery store and buy whatever we want. And I mean, like, that was just the objective, to go to the grocery store and be able to buy whatever you wanted. And not be on a tight budget, like, okay, you got to get bread, you got to get milk, you got to get cereal, that type of stuff. Next point, drinking to cope. Quote, I started drinking shortly after our family started growing. It was my coping mechanism. And like most people who turn to alcohol, I thought I had it under control. Maybe I did for a while. But eventually it got the better of me and I became useless as a husband and as a father. My kids were young, so they really didn't know what was going on. But my wife, I regret that period every single day of my life because of how it affected her. I was physically around, but I wasn't much use. I wasn't mentally around, and it took a lot of difficult conversations and eventually an ultimatum to get me to sober up. Mm-hmm. Close quote. What do you say about that, man? Drinking it, hitting that bottle.
That bottle, man, it's a creeper. As I heard you talk about that, there's a line, man, that Kendrick Lamar has that sticks with me. That dude said, you don't know pain until you do it sober.
Ooh, that's a bar.
Yeah, you don't know pain. No, yeah, you don't know pain until you feel it sober. Mm. And that's the thing, because drinking is so easy. Just numbs you. And like you said, you think you got it under control. Boom. Then next thing you know, you drinking every day.
Mm-hmm. It's got control over you.
It's got control over you. And a lot of times, man, people have different coping mechanisms, you know, for whatever your vice is, right? Mm-hmm. But I think drinking, maybe like drinking and smoking, is probably the most common because they can be taxed, right?
Yeah. And, you know, the thing about that is, like, it just, like you said, it really takes control over you. And I personally, I never wanted, you know, anything to have control over me to keep me from going to work or to keep me from going to school or keep me doing anything that I wanted to do. I never put that type of prioritization into something. Point number 9, refusing to go to therapy. Now, I'm sure you've heard this one a few times. Quote, my wife and I argued over going to therapy for almost 3 years. I was dead set against it. And when I look back, the big regret I have in the whole situation is that I had no reason for not going. I just thought the two of us should be able to solve our problems without anyone's help. And if we did get help, it somehow meant our marriage wasn't strong. What I learned was marriage wasn't strong, and my stubbornness played a huge part in it. When I finally gave in, it was because I was sick of being asked to go rather than actually wanting to go and try with an open mind. I regret that too, because all it did was delay and what turned out to be a really good experience. Going to therapy did help our marriage, but it's my fault that it took so damn long. Close quote. You got a huge smile on your face.
Yeah, therapy, especially for men, right? Therapy, it's, and I say just like marriage, right? Therapy is this mirror. And if you're willing to be open, you can get the necessary help you need. I remember going to therapy. I had switched therapists, and maybe like 6 or 7 months ago, he told me, he was like, you got mommy issues. And I was like, no, I don't. He was like, you do. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't. And he was like, well, according to what you told me, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you know. And he was a little more chill about it. But after we got off that call, I had to sit with myself. I was like, oh. Now here I am, 47 years old, like, oh, I haven't even attacked this thing, right? And I told my wife about it. Now, I easily could have shut the guy out and I'm like, I'm through with you. I'm not going, you know. But to be honest about that and deal with that pain, man, it's just best that you deal with it now and get it out the way so you can be better later.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you get a good therapist. But a lot of times I know for men, man, we got pride. Pride and ego, man, will kill us, man.
Like a germ.
Man, we got to do better in that area, man. It's okay to be human. We're all flawed.
Oh, no doubt. We're flawed individuals. I chuckle when I first read this because I think a lot of guys are like that, you know, where it's just like, man, I don't need, why are we going to bring a stranger? Because, you know, we not talking to each other. What sense does it make for us to talk to somebody else? You know, and that's not really, if she feels or she recognizes to the point that it's needed, then you probably should go. You know what I'm saying? I mean, instead of being resistant about it, because that doesn't do anything for anybody. And that just really can further sever what you already have right now. And so, fellas, if she's asking to go, go. Because I think, at least from what I've seen, not just with my parents, but my friends who've gone through that, it's helped some, and some, you know, it was too late, you know, or the resistance to go, you know, became an obstacle. It'd be even bigger obstacle because, you know, he or she might have been like, well, hey, you see that this isn't working. You see that there's something on the track, but you're still pushing the train. Yeah. You know, we see there's a huge bull on the track and you still hitting, you still on the, you got your foot on the pedal, you know, so what's going to happen? You know what I mean? So definitely do that, fellas. Last but not least, point 10, forgetting my priorities. This one says, quote, when my wife and I got married, I wasn't ready to give up some things in my life. Maybe not completely give it up, but I wasn't ready to reprioritize my life with respect to starting a family. I was still obsessed about sports and wanted to spend time with my friends on the weekends, go to clubs, hang out, play video games. I spent more money than I should have on stupid stuff. I was basically trying to have the best of both worlds and the freedom of an unmarried guy mixed with the love and commitment of a husband and soon-to-be father. But it doesn't work like that. So I regret not understanding the importance of making sacrifices. I learned too late that skipping time with my friends to bond with my wife can make both relationships stronger and more meaningful. Honestly, I'm still working at it, but I feel like I've grown and matured in a lot of ways, and my priorities are where they are need to be these days. Close quote. What do you say about that, man? Trying to get out of the life.
Man, listen, I wish. And I need to say this real quick.
Go ahead.
I wish we could let people know, especially for single people, singleness is selfishness. And there's nothing wrong with being selfish.
Nothing.
If you're single with no kids, you can play video games. You can veg out until your thumbs bleed. It's your life.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get married, you have to be sacrificial, man. That's what I want. I wish single people understood, like, it's okay to be single and selfish. And could people make it like it's a death sentence?
Facts.
I'm like, you know how much you can be doing single and enjoying your life? The guy listed all these things that he wish he could have done. You know, he could have thought about that before he said, I do. But I will say for married men, because this is a big one too. Just prioritize home, and it might be a little transition, but just make sure that home is good. And if you got a good woman, she's going to make sure that you're good. If you are taking care of your responsibilities, and a lot of that stuff go back to childhood too. Maybe you never really had any discipline or structure growing up, or your mama did everything for you and you got married and you was looking for another mama.
No, so. Well, what about the club, Sean? Can you go to the club?
Man, listen. I'll be like, okay. I think it just depends on the age. You know, I think there are some cool lounges, you know, that adults go to and stuff like that. But yeah, but like clubs, like, yeah, I'm past that.
Yeah, same, way past that. Yeah. Even, you know, even when I was at that stage, I still was like, you know, we go to clubs together. So, because, mm-hmm. you know, the thing was, she knew I wasn't trying to go pick nobody up. So, but even that got tired after a while, because you just old guy in the club. You know what I mean? You the old guy in the club. Oh, man, why do you drink so high? Why the parking so high?
What you mean? Why the music so loud?
Yeah, why the music so loud? What do you mean I can't wear Jordans in here? Why I got to put on hard bottoms? I got to wear a suit. I wear my suit to church on Sunday. Nah, man.
I don't put on my Airwalkers. I want to wear my Nike Monarchs.
Yes, yes, yes. Man. Yeah, so that's pretty much it, man. Like I said, I wanted to get you on here, man. You did a great job as far as breaking it down. Before we get out of here, is there anything, any parting words you want to leave with the people? And then we'll talk about where they can find you online and tap in with you.
Man, great segment. Thanks again for inviting me.
Anytime, bro.
It's always love. Thanks, man.
For sure.
My parting piece of advice is just have self-awareness. Like, be aware. And if you have shortcomings, and if your wife or vice versa, whoever, you know, your husband, your wife, y'all have some things that y'all need to work out, just be willing to listen instead of letting your ego drive you, because that'll push you further apart from each other. Be willing to listen. And things can work out eventually, but you got to make sure that you're a team and make sure that you have open communication. And I know that sounds common, but it's very true. Can't walk around on eggshells. Marriages don't last like that. So have self-awareness. That's my thing, man. Self-awareness is top tier.
No doubt. No doubt. It's kind of like, I liken it to, you know, Sean and I are big, huge football fans. And one thing a football player will do, you know, you play, but you got to go to that film session, you know. That film session is going to tell you what you're doing right. It's going to tell you what you're doing wrong. And if you have a good enough woman, she will sit you down and y'all will have a film session. Now she's not going to call it a film session, but it's going to be a film session.
She's going to listen to the tape.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. The tape going. I mean, I'm talking about like this with the clicker. Like, what'd you do on that? Oh, is that you? Oh, no. Let's go back and rewind. See what you did right there.
You see the damn change wiper?
And vice versa. You have the same too, but it's all about what you just said, man. It's all about communication, and it's also all about, you know, listening. And you have to do both. You have to do them equally, and you have to do them all the time, because I say it all the time. People ask me about, you know, being married and being married as long as we have been married. And I say, well, one, you got to be committed to the commitment. You know, you got to be committed to each other, but you also have to be willing to, you know, work, because it's work. Listen, it's so much work. It's working right now. Both of our marriages are working, and we're not even in the room with our spouses. So it's constant work. It's you working when you sleep, you know, so, but it's at the end of the day, it's still rewarding at the same time. So that's the bit of advice, if I can, I'll leave with you guys. Before we get you out of here, Sean, man, tell folks where they can find you, where they can find your podcast and all of that good stuff.
Yeah, man. Yeah, for sure. I was just listening to you and I was just like, oh, you know, you got to make more deposits than withdrawals in your marriage. Make more deposits. You know, you can't put that ATM, put that card in there and it's in the red. You ain't going to get nothing. make a lot of deposits. You can find me on all social media platforms. You can find me at scarytoremarry.com. It's just exactly how it's spelled, scarytoremarry, all one word, .com. If you want a coaching session, you can connect with me there. You can also set a date, lock in a date and time. We can make that happen. Also, you can check me out on YouTube, Scary to Remarry. Got a bunch of content closing on almost 1,000 uploads. So we got enough content to help everybody concerning remarriage, and even just that dating stage going into marriage. If you want to remarry again, you got to get back out there and start dating. I got all that kind of good stuff too. So that's where you can find me, mostly scaredtoremarry.com.
And one of the cool things about Sean, particularly if you follow him on Twitter X, if he asks a question and you respond, He'll respond to you. He ain't one of the people that won't talk to you. Sean will talk to people all day long. I mean, and it don't necessarily have to be about relationships. It can be about whatever. But yeah, man, this has been a long time coming, and glad to have you on. Like I said, I told you before when we were off air, we got to get you back on so we can talk about football. Because again, we're huge football fans. Sean is a Cleveland Browns fan. And in the great words of an old black Southern woman, bless his heart.
We're going to do it one day. We're going to come through. Yeah, we're going
to claim it. Claim it, Sean. Claim it.
We're going to come through. Deshaun Watson, healthy Nick Chubb. We got Defensive Player of the Year. You know what I'm saying? We got Miles.
Hey, but last year was a great season. Last year was a great season.
Considering everything that went down, Joe Flacco came through. Exactly. You know, so.
Man, they got Joe Flacco out the Senior Citizen Club, man, and he came out there bald.
Came out and balled out. So, yeah, man. Well, yeah, that's another episode.
We'll definitely have Sean back on. You guys know where to find me. You've been listening. You've been watching. Thank you for watching. If you're watching on YouTube, download and subscribe there. The 12 Kyle podcast drops every Thursday at midnight. From time to time, we drop bonus episodes on Sundays at midnight. If you feel so inclined, if you want to donate to the podcast, hit us up on Cash App, $TWELVEKYLE. Also in the description box, you will see a link. We now have merchandise. So if you want a 12 Kyle podcast shirt, a mug, a poster, you can get it there. And follow me on all the socials, Twitter X, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, as well as TikTok, 12 Kyle and 12 Kyle podcast. That's going to do it for us. So for my man, Sean from Scary to Remarry, I am your boy, 12 Kyle. We'll catch you guys next time. 5,000.